Catherine Tegan Books and Harper Audio present One Jar of Magic by Corey Ann Haydew. Performed by Cassandra Morris. 1. The best jar, I think, is the one filled with a thin layer of gray fuzz. It's the sort of thing that would get caught in the dryer, not caught in a mason jar. But I like how it looks alive, like it belongs in the sea attached to a rock, or on the moon, nestled deep into one of its crevices. It looks like something you don't care about, or wish wasn't around, or has to be disposed of. But actually, it's magic. What do you think it does? I ask Lyle when we pull it from the closet. We were looking for one of Dad's scarves. The orange one that looks like someone made autumn into yarn and stitched it right up. Dad has an enormous collection of scarves, all of them hanging in different closets around the house, as if there's nothing else one might put in a closet. Our coats live on the living room couch, and coffee table, and TV stand. And our rain boots live on the porch. And even our clothes only ever live in dressers and on top of the washing machine. Closets are for scarves and jars. I've drawn pictures of our living room, and no one believes that's how it really is. Maybe they think it's weird or ugly, but I've never lived anywhere without coats on bookcases and coffee tables, jackets hung on the backs of every chair, three or four at a time, our whole life in piles, right there for the taking. It's how my father has to live. So it's how we have to live. Sometimes I wish we could eat dinner at the dining room table, or sit comfortably on the couch, to have a life that looked like Ginger's, or even Maddie's. But then, I wouldn't have my father. And the trade-off seems pretty fair. An extra magical life, for the low price of having to look at parkas and fleece jackets and down vests all over the living room. The jar in my hands now is one I haven't seen before. There are a lot of jars in our cramped, messy home here in Belling Bright that have been hiding my whole life. When I find one, I want to know everything about it. Like it's a family member I'm just learning exists. Someone I might grow to love. Lyle doesn't feel the same way. Not about this jar, but not about any other jars either. Maybe it's to make things dirty, Lyle says. He's turning the jar around and around in his hands, but it looks the same from every side. Lyle's a lot like Mom. He's been around magic his whole life, and he's captured a normal number of jars of the stuff, but he doesn't have a feel for it. Maybe it's for dreaming, I say. I feel like the spidery gray could look like the gray clouds that come in at night. That the hazy way it's floating in the jar is a lot like the way dreams are blurry and hard to explain. I don't know, Lyle says. I guess you'd know better than me. He says it with a shrug, as if he doesn't care. But I think maybe he does. Because the shrug is a little too long, and his gaze meets the floor when he does it. Dad would know, I say. It goes without saying, though. Dad knows everything about magic. Or if he doesn't know everything, he knows more than anyone else. And maybe that's the same as knowing everything. One thing Dad knows is that I am like him. I have whatever special thing he has. I am extra magical the way he is. I think I know it too. Sometimes my toes tingle, or my breath catches, or my head rushes, and I think, yes, there it is. My magic. My bit of something special. Just like Dad said I would have. Show me the last jar that you captured, I say to Lyle. He doesn't have the something special that Dad and I have. But he captures a few jars of magic every year, and he still has one left from last New Year's Day. He lumbers back to the closet and pulls out a jar with a green shine to it. I've been thinking of using it before we head to the lake this year, he says. Not sure what it does. Turn something radio-
Sample complete. Ready to continue?